grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God which engages us this day is the third chapter of the book of Galatians, the 22nd verse. That the scripture confined all things to sin, that what was promised to faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Promises. All I ever get from you are promises. Promise her anything, but give her our pay. But you promise. I know that I promised you, but something's come up. Broken promises. They're well known in the lover's lament through the ages, whether it's the haunting in Baldi of Peter Pan in Puccini's Madame Butterfly, or the latest country and western from the smoky South St. Louis bar. Broken promises, the trail of human fears, unfulfilled wishes. That's the way it is with people. Get with reality. Not all promises come to any fruition. Most of them are terribly disappointed. But not so with the promises of God. They do not lead to dismal disappointment, to dead ends, to broken and shattered dreams. Not when God promises. What was promised to faith is given to those who believe in Jesus Christ. That's God's promise to us about his promises. What God promises is given. What God promises us is given to us. This particular chapter from which our text is taken this day is a great promise chapter. In 16 short verses, St. Paul uses a form of epangelia 9 times. Try sometimes underlining or highlighting the very word promise as it bounces through these verses. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. To give you an example, brethren, no one knows even a man's will or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. Does not say to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one and to your offspring, which is Christ. This is what I mean. The law which came 430 years afterward does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance is by the law, it is no longer by promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions till the offspring should come, to whom the promise was made. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. But God confined all things to sin, that what was promised to faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Again and again, the promises of God are sure altogether. What God promises is nothing less than forgiveness and life in his name. Unique to the letter to the Galatians? Not at all. Try a sampling from Romans 4 and you get the same thing. The promise to Abraham and his descendants that they should inherit the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, and faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise might rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants. And of Abraham, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, convinced that God was able to do what he has promised. That is why his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. But the words "was reckoned to him" were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him that raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was put to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification. If we had time, we could march through Ephesians and Hebrews and other places and see promise stamped all over the place. God promises deliverance and rescue and forgiveness and life. And what God promises, God gives. You don't earn it. You don't merit it. You don't have your card punched around and then turn it in for it. It's gift. We know what we earn. Wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is not because we do something, but because God gives what he has promised. He gives forgiveness. He gives standing with him. He gives the Holy Spirit. He gives life. And who is at the center of this promise and this giving? Jesus Christ. What God promises, he gives to those who believe in Jesus Christ. That is why Paul could write to those troublesome Corinthians, in Jesus Christ, all the promises of God find their yes. The grand Amen is that in Jesus Christ, God fulfilled his promise. In Jesus Christ, he gave his only Son into death that we might have life. God in Christ reconciles the world to himself. In Christ, he no longer counts our sins against us. We have been baptized into this offspring, Christ, and baptized in his name, we lay claim to be heirs of the promise. Here and now, we possess what God has promised in Jesus Christ and what he gives in his name, forgiveness and life and joy. And yet there is more. There are still promises of God. Promises of a God who, as St. Peter says, is not slack concerning his promises. He has not forgotten the promises given to us also in Jesus Christ. And because we know the faithfulness of God in fulfilling his promise in the gift of his Son and forgiveness, we can rely on his promise that Christ will come again and graciously take us to himself, where we shall feast at the eternal banquet and relish in the joys of our Lord forevermore. That too is promise. And what our God promises in Jesus Christ, he gives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.